Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So one of the bonuses of being in a clergy couple is sometimes we compare notes and come around Saturday night. One of us will inevitably ask the other, "So, what you preaching on tomorrow?" And sometimes the answer is, I have a great 3-point outline. I'm ready to go. And sometimes the answer is, maybe I should just read the gospel and sit down. This might just be one of those gospels, but as a preacher, that I'm not going to just sit down. I do have some words. The words that came to me this week were blessings and woes, popes and cubs. You see, this gospel is Jesus' Sermon on the Plain from Luke. And it's similar to the Beatitudes from Matthew, but Matthew doesn't include the woes, just the blessings. But what a heavy dose of upside downness these blessings and woes offer to us. Blessed are those who are poor, and the hungry, and the weeping, and the hated. What a great text for Confirmation Sunday. Blessed are you when you are poor and hungry and weeping and hated. It doesn't make sense, does it? But in the kingdom, it does. Because God, you see, has a great way of writing wrong. God's way is that of mercy and justice and compassion. Jesus said, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not even withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs," etc. Here's the thing. That's kingdom talk. Kingdom of God talk. We've got an election coming up Tuesday. And of course, every election is an important election. But the psalmist says, put not your trust in any earthly ruler. You see, because God's kingdom is bigger than political parties. I know half the congregation will vote one way, half will vote the other way, and on Wednesday morning, half of you at least are going to be mad about something. But here's the thing. In God's kingdom, it doesn't matter if you are Democrat or Republican, Independent, Green Party, Libertarian, Pastafarian, well, maybe not Pastafarian. That's the guy that wears the colander on his head and believes in pasta. But in God's kingdom, no matter what your party affiliation, our marching orders are the same. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Now I know there's signs up all over town for different politicians. And bumper stickers maybe on some of your cars. But in the end, the marching orders of Jesus Christ are different than the marching orders of the world. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. What message could be more compelling on the Sunday before the most divisive Tuesday that comes around every 4 years? America is only 200 and some years old. The kingdom that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven, that's eternal. That's forever. That's the kingdom that we live in. The kingdom that we serve as Christians. And as Christians, that must be the first kingdom we promote. The first kingdom we proclaim. I know you're all tired of the commercials, if you watch TV at all. Blah, 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 did something, something. Blah, 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 did something, something. Vote for me. I won't do that something, something. The kingdom of God. That's where our hope rests. That's where our hope lies. That is our only forever hope. I don't know if you caught it when Bonnie read from Daniel this morning. The book of Daniel is a strange bird. It's a strange genre of literature. It's kind of apocalyptic. And Daniel is writing about a bad dream he had. You know, was the bad dream indigestion? Was it a vision? Well, he wrote it down. And in his vision, there were four big scary things. Four great beasts. One resembling a winged lion, one resembling a tusked bear, one resembling a four-headed leopard, and one resembling a ten-horned, iron-toothed monster. Now, this is significant because this was just at the beginning of the Iron Age, right? Iron was a new thing. And they're already having bad dreams about this stuff. And a lot of people get tied up with those four beasts. And for Daniel, just to clear this up, most interpreters agreed the beasts represented the powerful kingdoms of Babylon, Media, Persia, and the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. So those beasts had names. But the most important part of the end of Daniel was that God would send a son of man to redeem them. That the beasts, no matter how scary the vision was, God would bring deliverance. And I want you, John and Isabel, to remember this in particular, but all of you. Political battles especially make us fearful. They make us be afraid of something or someone, and especially the others. People we don't know, the people we can't see, we don't understand. Those are like those great beasts that Daniel talks about. But they're just a bad nightmare. Because the kingdom of God is forever. The Son of Man did come. Not like a bigger, scarier monster with bigger, scarier iron teeth. But came like a lamb, an innocent lamb, the Lamb of God. And he holds the kingdom forever. He took on the cross for us so that our bad dreams, our nightmares, our fears, our worst fears cannot be bigger than the power of God. Today we remember Daniel and all the saints. We remember the saints of this congregation who have died in the last year. We remember parents and grandparents. And all those who taught us about Jesus, who gave us hope. Hope that the living God is bigger and more powerful than any of the things the world would have us fear. Power to remind us that God's love is forever. So Wednesday morning when you get out of bed, give a gesture of peace to somebody you disagree with. Wednesday morning when you get out of bed, thank God for the love of Jesus that did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. and remind yourselves. The second reading, John and Isabel. Tuck that away someplace, maybe in your confirmation Bible. Ephesians 1. It is the prayer of this congregation, has been since the day you were baptized. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Tuck it away and remember this day. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep all our hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, and his kingdom. Amen.